even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Part two of our chat with Baby is here. It's now you're listening to it. I'm still on my lovely walk, bathed in frosty sunshine. I've taken pictures for you all so that you can see. Oh, I've just spotted a house I've never seen before up on the hill. Big white thing. No, it's not. It's stacks of hay bales. Okay. Stand down, right move. Anyway, here's our second half of our chat with Baby.
Did you like the Brit School?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I think for me, like, especially like going to school and like Hainault, it was always very like, oh, like you want to do you like music or you want to get into like acting? Okay, so like, what's your backup plan?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to Brit School, they're like, oh, cool, you want to do this stuff? I know someone that can help you with that. Here's how you do that. Here's what you need to do. And then kind of just like gave me the tools. Obviously, they're not like making a bitch famous over there, but like, if you want it, they will let you know how to go about it. Because before, I didn't know about like music licensing and like management and like so many other sides that go into just like making art. And like Brit School really puts that perspective, just go, okay, so in order to do that, I need like a manager, I need like an agent. And it's like the business side of it makes it more feasible. Because before, when it's just like, I want to get from here to here, and you don't know anybody around who's doing anything you want to do, and you're the only person in your small town that like wants to go and do that, nobody can help you. Then you travel like an hour, 10 minutes to Croydon every day for 2 years. You have some people like you, you get that network and you start to build it up in that way. So for me, Brit was like awesome. Like I'm still working with people from Brit now. Like even like one of the girls that does press, she was saying, yeah, it's Brit at me. Like,
interesting.
My friend Rose Gray, she's like open for Tom Grennan. We got to do Annie Paddy together up since I was 16. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's an amazing kind of compost where lots of talent grows, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Because I remember when you had like first day, they were like, look around you, like these people are going to be your network. And at the time, I'm like, I'm 16, like, what are you talking about? But truly say, like, it's been 10 years and like I'm seeing all these people out there from Brit, like, yo, they're like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm gonna do press for this, like, I'm on red carpet. Like, it's like a little, like, it's a lot of family like out in the industry. It's really, really nice. It's really cute.
That's so nice. Also interesting that they teach about the business side, because someone was talking about that and they were saying how the industry creates deliberately, like it infantilizes the singers and the writers and the band members, because that way you can control them and you should never let yourself be infantilized.
I don't think it's even that.
Really?
I don't think it's even infantilizing. I feel now that I guess I'm on the side of it, obviously I'm not famous, but like I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. It's like, it's a very gradual process where because there's so many moving parts, now you're getting so many emails coming in. You have management. So like I have management that handle my diary and handle people handle like what gigs I'm doing or what jobs I'm taking, like what films I'm going to go do. Then what my publicist Milo will handle all my press stuff. Then like by the time you blink, everyone's handling all the other stuff for you because your job is to be a creative. But then at the same time, that takes away any kind of like responsibility. Like what, I have an accounts team now. I don't have to worry about money. They take care of that for me. I can look at it and I can like, if I'm interested, but like, I don't have to, do you know what I mean? And that's a really scary place to be in where all the responsibilities are taken away from you so that you can do your job, but then you just become the job. It's a really fine line.
How do you remain creative in those circumstances?
For me, I thrive in it, to be honest. I feel like I've been the most creative I've ever been just because I don't have to worry about all that other stuff.
Oh, wicked. That's so cool.
Yeah, so now I'm not worrying about like invoicing and itineraries and traveling, that I can actually just be creative and focus on music and like gonna have that chat with myself creatively.
Ah, lovely. And who are your, you know, as we look at the Baby manifesto, I'm calling it, what is awesome. The what is the flavor of things to come?
Music. So video for Dear is coming out soon. I'm really, really excited for that. That's really, really cool. The second single's being mastered at the moment, and I'm really, really excited for that. I think Fit is really cool. The second single's a bit more kind of like clubby, still like edgy and cool, but it's a bit more like dancey, which is really, really fun because I love dancing.
Great.
And yeah, working on the EP and kind of just leaning into the sonics of things. I think where Drag Race came out, I was invited to all the parties I was never invited to before. So I got to kind of like go to these like really cool things and just like, and then like my voice notes app open, be like, oh, like this beat sounds really, really cool. And, oh, people like this kind of music. And like, oh, this is like hard style techno. I really, really like that. And for this kind of like new era of music, I really wanted to, I guess, express different musical genres through that sonic palette. Like I really like heavy, like sound of wall, like distorted, like guitars. I really just like things that sound very abrasive, but then where like, I went to Brit school, I did not sing in the choir and stuff like that. I like really fruity chords. I like jazz seventh for like all those kind of musical elements. It's kind of like mixing the two and like feeling sassy and feeling sexy and all the things that I didn't kind of like allow myself to feel before. I'm kind of like tapping into that. I'm like getting older, isn't it? I want to like step into my power a little bit.
That's great. And then any musical influences from your childhood that are coming through?
At the moment, I'm kind of leaning towards more like rocky stuff, and it just feels like the Prodigy. Like my mum used to blare the Prodigy like in the car on the way to school.
Ah, interesting.
So that, yeah, I guess people kind of say that. I've been playing it around. People kind of been saying that it feels a bit like retro almost in the way that it's approached like the sonics of it, because I like really organic drums. I love really like rocky drums, but I also love like integrating electronic sounds like effects and that within it. So it kind of like harkens back to like 90s and stuff, but has like a kind of modern moment with it. I'm really experimenting with this. I'm really having fun.
That's cool. Is it really scary stepping out on your own? Because, you know, like the umbrella of Drag Race is I imagine, a very nice warm place to be underneath there.
No, for me, I feel like I've kind of spent years preparing to be in a position to go out on my own now. Because I think when I was young, kids have really bad, actually I have terrible stage fright. Obviously I have anxiety in that. So when I was young, it's been like really, really bad. And then when I've been doing performing and stuff in drag, I guess for like 5 years, that was me performing in rooms full of people in central London for like 5 years and kind of like getting that out of my system and finding my stage presence and finding my confidence. And then now it's just been about translating that into music. But I'm so ready to go and do it. I think when we did the Girl Group Challenge, I was like, oh, like, I think people might like my verse, like, cool, whatever. Then like the episode came out and everyone was just like, where is Baby's music? Where is her music? And I was like, oh, there's excitement about it, cool. And we put out theater and people are like, this is awesome. I'm like, okay, people are liking it. I'm not crazy, because I feel like it can be very, like, how many people can like it? So I'm scared and tinker with it and you try to fuss about with it. And now I kind of have the confidence to be like, actually, there are people that identify with my taste level, they identify with the things that I like. Let's do more of it. Let's do more of it and let's push it and let's just go. So I'm not feeling very like excited.
Ah, wicked. What made you do Drag Race in the first place?
I think it was like a mixture of things. I think, because when I first started performing, I think my first gig was opening for Alyssa Edwards from season 5. And I hadn't even like been doing drag yet. I was kind of performing. But that was like my first step into it. And I was touring around and doing all these shows with these girls from Drag Race and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, you're getting paid like 10 times what I'm getting paid, literally because you've been on the show, but we're doing the exact same job. And then COVID hit and all this other stuff hit, and I'm getting older. I'm just like, right, like doing 5 shows a week and like, I can pay my rent, I can live, but I'm not financially stable the way I would like to be. Something needs to kind of change. I remember I started doing drag before Drag Race UK was even a thing. So when I kind of started doing drag, it was just because I liked it.
Yeah.
And then the TV side kind of came to it and I was like, okay, like I've known what I remember. I met Taste at like my first London gig. See Taste going there. I've known Kitty for years. I've known Cheryl. I know Crystal from season 1, Crystal from season 3, Joe Black. All of them girls are my friends. I was watching all my friends start to just blow up and make money. And I was like, you know what? I'm capable of doing this. And so when I went to apply for Drag Race, it was my first time applying and they wanted me. So I was there.
Good on you. What was it that made them pick you?
Okay, a few people have said this to me, so I'm not seeing my own torn. Yeah. I just have a bit of like the spark in my personality, I think. I perceive myself as like a very unique kind of like energy. And like, I am a bit silly, I'm a bit sassy, but like I have, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like I have like a little special something about me. I think they kind of like saw that. And for me, like it wasn't even about being like the best drag queen or being the best at makeup or being best at this. I just know that I'm a really good performer. I know that I have this like a lot of heart, and I think they appreciated my heart.
Yes. And what is that whole process like?
It's a lot of like faffing. It is a lot of faffing. So you've got to like register your interest, and then you do the taped audition. And I did mine really quickly, but some girls spend like weeks on theirs. I would start very just like, I paid my videographer friend, people went to our studio, we did 3 hours. I just went and ran through everything, awesome, and they edited it. It was off. Like, I think if I spent too long like picking at it, I would have just not sent it, and I would have gotten a bit insecure about it because it wasn't the best tape. Like, my snatch game was trash, but like some bits were really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then obviously you get shortlisted from there, then it's like evaluations, like so many different things. But I was never really worried about it. I was always kind of just like, yeah, like I'm gonna get on. I know that sounds a bit like arrogant, but I was like, I'm gonna get on. Then was like, oh, like how do you feel that you're accepted as Drag Race? I was like, yeah, like cool, awesome, thanks. Like, I want to go get my shit ready now. It just felt like a very like natural step in my career. I feel like I was supposed to go and do that.
God, that's interesting. It was your destiny. But then you weren't enjoying it. Like, what was that like?
I was in space for like, I don't know, I guess I felt like people were trying to go and Drag Race and yourself and be yourself and be yourself. It's so important to just be yourself and you have fun. And I was there and it stopped being fun very quickly. And I was slowly learning that myself wasn't necessarily enough in that space for the capacity that the show runs at. You know, I feel like sometimes you need the big characters. Like, I'm such and such, and here's my catchphrase, and and I'm just not that person. I am just very organic in the way that I do everything. And I think it felt a bit contrived to me at some times. It just felt like very uncomfortable. I felt like I wasn't able to fully exist in my moment. I felt like that was somebody else's moment. And like, obviously, there's lots of cameras on you and there's lots of lights on you. You know that millions of people are going to watch this. You have to watch what you say. You have to watch what you interact with the girls. For me, it was just too much mental gymnastics on top of what Drag Race actually is, which is competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like the drag side of it. I can do drag. I'm good at my job. I can do musical challenge. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? But when it's like, we're up really early, we haven't had any sleep because you're up in the hotel room, like standing in the wigs for the summer challenge. We've got so much other shit going on. As someone who likes to move it over every just like, not a slow pace, but I like to take my time and just do things properly. I wasn't given time to do that. So then I'm getting critiques like, you know, this could be better. And it's like, well, yeah, because I'm up my ass right now. Like, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
like, oh, you seem a bit nervous. It's like, yeah, I'm having panic attacks. That's why I seem a bit nervous. Like, yeah, like, I'm, like, yeah. It's got to the point where it's like, why am I even here? Like, I'm misrepresenting myself. And I deserve more than that. And I love myself too much to allow that to happen to myself. So I'd rather take myself out of the situation.
Right. That makes complete sense.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you said you wanted to leave, like, was that really a surprise to them?
I don't think so. I mean, to anybody that was there, it was common knowledge that Baby was not having a good time.
Right.
Like, yeah. So I think by the time I left, it was kind of just like, fair bitch. Like, mm-hmm. The girls really sort of like, I tried. I really tried. Like, it wasn't even like the first time something happened. Like, I was there for a while, like, trying to just like drag myself through. Like, you know, you want to get to top four. It's going to be really good for you to do that. But it's like, if I stayed to top four, I would have gone crazy and probably like lashed out at somebody. So I'm glad I left when I did and I got to say face.
Yes.
I got to play the happy music over me saying about my mental health and I got to have a thank you, awesome, great. And I got to leave it very nice because it would have gone very bad very quickly had I said, I think.
But did you plan to say, you know, at the end, like, did no one know you were about to say, I want to go at the end?
No.
Nobody knew.
No, that's the thing. Like, for me, I knew I wanted to go home. We have a show to make. I'm professional. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, BBC have commissioned X amount of hours or X amount of minutes per episode, whatever, that, like, you have a show to make. I'm not just going to leave halfway through and start what we're doing for the rest of the episode. So I went, I did it, I did the lip sync, and then it was like, I made some decisions. So I was like, I want to go home now. I'll just give you guys what you need to do, and I'm going to dip now.
How did you feel in the moment before you opened your mouth to say that?
It was, I was shaking. No, literally, if you watch it back, like, when I said, like, oh, like, I need to go home and take care of myself, and Rue goes, like, I respect that. And they're like, yeah, like, I was delirious. No, like, I was not even there. like, it was so just wow. like, I didn't want to be put in a position where I had to kind of say that on TV. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that's what kind of frustrated me about it, because, like, I tried to ask for help, and obviously with the way that the show's run, I couldn't necessarily get the help that I needed. So that means I kind of had to, so I could be like, okay, I do actually need to go home now, so I'm going to go do that, because mm-hmm. Nothing can really be done to make me not feel like this anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the conversation around it was about mental health. We talk about mental health all the time on this podcast. Mm. How do you feel now? How do you feel about your mental health at the moment? You know, I think it's such a day-to-day thing.
It is a day-to-day thing. I like you. Because it is a day-to-day thing. I think I'm feeling really good. I'm aware that, like, life is sort of ups and downs. So I'm kind of just taking it as it goes. But right now, feeling really good. Feeling really optimistic about things. Obviously, I am going to sort out a new therapist. Mm-hmm. A good therapist. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, yeah, I'm feeling really good. I think now that I've obviously done DragCon, got to kind of close that chapter of my life, now I'm getting to focus on all the things that I want to do. And I'm getting to, like, choreograph, like, other people's music videos and, like, make my own music videos and, like, go and be in a short film and head this campaign for this thing. And, like, that's all the things that I really enjoy. And I think that's all I wanted to do in the first place. So I feel like I had to kind of go through Drag Race to have the access to that. Mm. But now that I have access to things, I'm kind of like living the life I've always wanted to live. So I'm feeling really happy.
That's lovely. And do you have any good tools for your moments? Like, how do you deal with a panic attack? Has that evolved? Have you learned anything that works for you?
I just excuse myself, because I think it gets really cyclical where I can be like in a situation, be like, oh, this gives me anxiety, but I can't let people see that I have anxiety. So you're worried about it. If you're like looking like you have anxiety, it just becomes like a whole like circle of just like, ah, like I'm frozen here and actually going, I'm going to take a step back. Sorry, I feel a bit like overstimulated right now. I feel a bit overwhelmed right now. I'm just going to go and just have a minute. And I think, especially since the show, now that, like, when I do say that, people are like, okay, cool, awesome. Let's take a time. I'm like, thanks.
That's great. Yeah. I suppose it's like there's something really interesting in there about just don't fight it, just say it. It's happening. I'm going to go over there, because I think we try and fight our mental health and ruminate on when it's coming, and we get ourselves in a bit of a lather about it, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's for me as well. I think when I was filming Drag Race, it was like, I'm having a panic attack. We didn't even have time for me to have a panic attack. It was like I need to stop it. Just like, babe, we've got to get into Untucked. And I'm just like, like, Jenna's like holding me. I'm like shaking, like, what's going on? We've got to go film this bit. Like, there, I didn't have the time for that. But everybody's like, now time is a luxury that I do have. I'm not in a rush or anything. And I can actually take a minute for myself. And I think doing Drag Race made me learn that about myself, I guess. And I feel like I need to kind of like go through these kinds of attacks and go through that mental health journey there to understand how I deal with that moving forward.
Yeah. And it's like you say, it's a day-to-day thing. Sometimes it will be better. Sometimes it will be worse, right? And hang on a sec. Sorry. Stop the bus. You were just saying about being in other people's music videos. You were in Sam Smith's video, weren't you?
I was, yeah. So I'm so proud of that, because I got that before Drag Race was announced. So no one in the cast knew that I was on Drag Race. So I actually had to audition for that and that, like everybody else. Yeah.
This is the Unholy video with Kim Petras, right?
Yeah.
Love that.
And that was just like really, really cool. Yeah. I'm really happy about that. Just because I worked really hard and got the audition, and they just like, we really like you. Then, like, I think we had the rap party when producers was like, are you on Drag Race? And I'm like, no, like, I'm not.
So you're right next to Sam in a lot of it, aren't you?
Yes, I am. That's my claim to fame. That was my first claim to fame. I was like, yeah, like Drag Race just come out, a little bit oppressed, like, yeah, I'm next to Sam Smith. And you're like, cool, I'm holy.
But did people lose their mind when that happened? Because had you not left Drag Race by the time that came out?
No, I hadn't. So that was before the season started airing, I think.
Really? Oh, God, okay.
Yeah. So it was literally just like the cast got announced, and then I did the Charlie XCX thing with Taste and Estina. And then Sam Smith was out around the same time. So everyone was like, okay, like, baby's like books. And I was like, yeah. No, it was really good, like, hype before the show. The people kind of like saw me doing stuff. Once I was on the show, they were like, oh, like, she's been picked to be like, she's been good.
Sam is an amazing person who's just been always really lovely to this podcast from the word go.
So like, lovely.
Yeah.
So, so lovely. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but like, an angel, like in the warm ups, like doing the choreography with like the rest of us. Like, it wasn't like, I'm Sam and this is my, like, it was just so respectful and just so loving. And just like, yeah, I remember that they played the song to us for the first time. And Sam was kind of like sounding like sheepishly, like, oh, like, this is a new song. Like, yeah, yeah. And we're like, bitch, this is so good. Like, what are you being shy for? Like, they're just so sweet. They're so really sweet. Yeah, no, it was a really good time.
Yeah. So, aside from everything we've discussed, what's next for you?
I guess mainly just I'm in my little like creative hermit mode, and I have lots of stuff in the backlog, like just lots of like shoots that haven't come out yet and like, campaigns that haven't come out yet. So I'm just kind of just waiting for that stuff. But in the meantime, just like in the studio working on music and just being creative. It's really nice because I feel like I've worked really hard. Now I have the means to like fund my creativity. So some of like, my friends are like, oh, like I have to go work on Monday. It's like, I'm going to go studio on like Wednesday.
Lovely. And then,
it's just like, so I'm just just creating things and just having fun. I feel like I needed a bit of like a chill. I feel DragCon's some 3 days of like intenseness and like hardly any sleep.
So DragCon, when you say you didn't get any sleep, like, is that because all the drag queens just go out together?
I mean, I just made so many friends. And it's so weird because like, you don't know who knows you. I think where there are so many franchises of it now, like, people are being quite like, oh, hi, like, I'm Baby from season 4 UK, like, just like, whatever. And people being quite like, oh my God, no, like, I love you. I'm like, oh shit, like, I love you too. Like, I didn't know you knew who I was.
So, like, that was
really, really fun. So I made lots of friends. Like, the Canadian girls were really, really lovely. Really lovely, all like the Brat Pack lot. Yeah, so it would just, I guess, it can feel quite isolating being with Drag Race, especially when like you're not with your other like girls in the season. That's sometimes you're the only person that kind of in a room has kind of been through it. So then being in a place where there's literally like a couple of, like, I don't know, like 100 or so of us, maybe even more.
Yeah.
That all know what the other person's been through. Like, just feeling like seen in that way was just amazing. Like, I really needed it.
You'll always have it as well. It's so nice. The thing that bonds you all.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Welcome. Odd thing to say at the end of a show. Hello, is what I mean. Hi, how was that? I loved that chat. Exciting things afoot for Baby, methinks. I'm still walking. Cough doing better. Coffee's nearly finished. Brain recharged. Let's see how many steps I've done. It's so bright, I can't see the thing. 6,000, okay. I'm supposed to do 10,000 a day. I don't know quite how you manage one manages that. Anyway, let us know what you thought of that interview. Open your email, write something, press send. Preferably to do with the show or you, but not necessary. Where are you getting your bargains? We should have a little bargain corner, shouldn't we? Because I'm always after a bargain. I think it would just become a Dunnell Mills sponsored section because that's where I find all my bargains. Anyway, next week we'll be chatting about Time to Talk Day. It is the UK's largest mental health conversation, and tackling difficult topics that LGBTQ plus people find hard to discuss. Get in touch, stay connected on Instagram at Homo Sapiens, Facebook at Homo Sapiens Podcast. Email your comments, questions and agony and calls to hello@homosapienspodcast.com. That would be lovely. Yeah, thanks for listening. We've had a lovely time. I'm finishing the episode just as I'm arriving back at home. So I'm going to put the kettle on, have a lovely brew, look out the window and think about my 6,000 steps. Thank you for being with me for all 6,500 of them. Lots of love, listeners, and we'll talk next week. Bye now.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.